Welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner speaking to you on the 5th of May, 2005. Finished doing a broadcast on WWCR earlier. As we do WWCR, Melody and myself, Melody Cederstrom, Discount Gold and Silver Trading, at 7 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Next Wednesday, I'll be on for 2 hours on two different frequencies. And that will be next Wednesday night, 5070 and 7.465. That'll be next week. We're done this week, and we continue to do our best. Pay attention to Darren and what he does. Lots of excellent information coming from Darren. He'll be on tomorrow night and Monday night as well. I'm glad to give up my airtime for Darren Weeks and his directions. Do I have Chris Emery with me, Chris?
Yes, how are you doing, Chris?
Wonderful. Thank you for joining me. Do we have Charles with us?
He was not able to join us this evening. He had some prior commitments, unfortunately.
Okay, well, it's great to have you with us again.
Thank you.
And certainly we have lots to cover. Dennis, the other webmaster on my website, has put some links in here, quite a bit of Oklahoma City bombing information.
Great.
And do you have a certain direction you want to take, or?
Well, there's an article that came out today, AP release, on the response to Terry Nichols' letter to a reporter from the LA Times. That was a kind of a culmination of about 45 days of effort of Nichols trying to get the truth out of what happened and regarding some alleged explosives that were found under his former house in Harrington, Kansas. Long story short, the FBI stepped forward today and said that there was no reason to reopen the investigation, that Mr. Nichols' claims were without merit, and of course Roger Moore, who was the ATF informant for the FBI, or ATF informant for the Justice Department, and also helped out the FBI, said that Nichols' claims of him being involved with the bombing were patently false. And it's very disappointing to see that the FBI refused to look at that information, as well as the reams, literally reams of information that Charles Key and the investigation committee have accumulated over the years. So in a sense, we're disappointed, but we're certainly not surprised.
There you have it. That's the point. You're not surprised because they're complicit in this whole thing anyway.
Yes, in as much as they chose to cover it up, and we have, in fact, their own documentation secured in several different locations throughout the U.S. and in Canada that clearly shows that they had prior knowledge of this case, and it was an absolutely horrific breakdown of communication, similar,
yeah,
in fact, in many respects to what happened with 9/11. And nobody within the Justice Department, at least in the top echelon, is man enough or has the backbone enough to step forward and said, yes, there was a mistake made. That's all we're asking for. And just an honest apology and restitution paid to the people here in Oklahoma City.
The problem with that is, once that happens, a gigantic can of worms will open up.
Sure.
And they aren't going to let that happen, are they?
No. No, in fact, this, and I have no problem mentioning his name on the air. I mean, it's all over the wire service. Jeff Lanza, the FBI spokesperson. I look at the situation as either Mr. Lanza is just so monumentally daft to realize that there is an incredible amount of evidence that clearly proves what he is saying is patently false, or he's a pathological liar. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Either you know what happened or you don't, and if you know what happened, why choose to lie about it? So,
who is this gentleman again?
Jeff Lanza. He's an FBI. In fact, in the article, let's see here, FBI spokesman Jeff Lanza said the Bureau is standing by its original investigation. That's absolutely pathetic. It certainly doesn't embody any trust or any credibility in the Bureau by having him say that, whether or not he was asked to or he did it on his own volition. I mean, it's insane why he would even make that claim.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Are you familiar with J.B. Campbell?
J.D. Cash or Campbell?
Apparently it's J.B. Campbell and Mike Gadbaugh.
I've heard of the name. I'm not familiar with his work.
Okay, because I see this Mike Gadbaugh says he's a U.S. Navy veteran, and apparently he's been groomed as some sort of a sleeper for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
For what purpose, he didn't know. And he's been on the run and being cared for by...
Yes, now I understand. Yes, I recall the name now that you mentioned the story. I haven't read much of the work. I haven't had a chance to check into the veracity of his claims, but they are interesting, at least on the surface.
Well, my thought about this is Tim McVeigh and how much of a mind-controlled victim he might have been.
There's distinct possibilities there, yes.
Uh-huh, and see, this is where MK Ultra came into place and was perfected in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
Mind-controlled assassins, they even made a movie, Telephone, with Charles Bronson, which was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mind-controlled assassins, mind-controlled bombers. It's not something that can be discounted as theory.
No.
As much as I can see, anyway, I can see it as a definite probability.
Well, Chris, we do have documentation and proof, solid proof, irrefutable evidence shows that MKUltra is being carried out, has been carried out, and continues to be carried out at the airbase 12 miles south east of downtown Oklahoma City at Tinker. It's one of the largest logistics airbases in the world for the U.S. Air Force.
No kidding.
No, I'm being just flat out honest with you.
Oh boy.
That's part of the deal. I mean, there's if you can imagine an airbase, 17,000 employees, it's easy to lose track of folks in there that are there for nefarious reasons. We found that a lot of homeless folks from the Oklahoma City County and the Oklahoma County area were taken there for various reasons. Well, they don't have any documentation to show, you know, where they live or, you know, and paying utilities or have a domicile, why not take them to the airbase? And that's not hearsay, that's not rumor, that's fact.
Uh-huh.
And it's been happening on a fairly regular basis for several years.
Well, and this is all very fascinating to a certain extent of what we know.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have these different people that have come out... Carol Howe has been one of them.
Yes.
And Elohim City is another situation that we haven't talked about before.
Yeah.
And Andreas Carl Strassmeyer.
That is an interesting individual. He lied through his teeth about this case, too. He was intimately involved in a lot of the aspects of it. And, in fact, both the ATF and the FBI have documentation showing that, why they're not pursuing him. We know that his dad, Strassmeyer's dad, was a very influential former member of the German parliament under Helmut Kohl. And, of course, political connections as they be, he was pretty much told to, you know, just he was given a free ticket in and out of the country. For a gentleman to live on an illegal visa for over 5 years in the United States with no gainful employment, that's absolutely astounding.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now, apparently, Carol Howe was a former Miss Teenage America.
Yes.
And a semifinalist and an Aryan goddess, an ATF snitch. And she filed some 70 reports with her ATF control officer, Angela Finley.
That is correct.
On the events of Elohim City.
Mm-hmm.
What is the significance of this, if you can remember?
Well, in fact, there was Angela Finley was... flown over the Elohim City compound. It's in remote eastern Oklahoma, by a pilot that used to work for the Oklahoma State Patrol. And on her first flight up to assess the area and do a visual reconnaissance of it, this particular pilot told her that, "Well, by gosh, you know, there are informants there from one of your other alphabet agencies, namely the FBI," and she had no idea. So basically, there were informants there for the FBI and the ATF. They have it on documentation. There's no refuting that. There's no way they can lie about that. That's also been secured away and supplied to us by former agents of both agencies that were furious in the way this case was handled. So we've pretty much caught them in a bald-faced lie there. Angela Finley has since chosen to plead the fifth and not say anything about it. Carol Howell had it figured out. She was supplying the ATF with her information, and it just shows that there was a complete breakdown of communication. There were turf wars going on, not only from the field offices, but from the national offices of both agencies. So they refused to tell each other about their own informants within the same camp. If this wasn't such a tragic case, Chris, this would have been, it's a calamity of errors. It's ludicrous the way it was handled. It's very sloppy, very unprofessional. And Mr. Lanza's statements today send a clear-cut message that these people have no intention whatsoever of apologizing for that calamity and for their incredible string of errors that have carried on over a matter of several years. This wasn't just a matter of a few weeks or a few months. It literally happened over years.
The thing is, you know, they've certainly been promoting terrorism in America. The controlled government agencies and representatives of those agencies have been talking about this, where there's going to be a terrorist act in America and where they're very concerned about it. And they're connecting the dot to the white Aryan races and things like this that's going to more than likely be the next terrorist event in this country to bring more draconian laws into place to further control us. Is that your feeling, too?
I don't just see it on a white Aryan nations thing. In fact, I think that's what that is. That's a false flag. That's the least of our concerns. They're treating us like Pavlov dog reflex. You know, they want to scare us, and then they'll say everything's all right. Then they'll scare us and get to the point where we're just so confused. I'm not, and of course you're not. There are a lot of people out there that either they're so confused and they'll submit to these false threats, or they just won't care anymore. So you either have fear or apathy. Well, that's a horrible combination, because people just don't care anymore when that happens. So in that respect, yes, I do agree with you to some extent.
Obviously, they've been promoting the fact that a domestic terrorism event will happen. They've said this.
Yeah.
And the most logical person or group of people to blame it on would be the, you know, these Aryan white Nazi believers.
Sure.
Whether it happens by that or not, that's a different story. But it just seems like the way they've been promoting it on the air on certain channels that this is a possibility that they say. Seems to me to bring up a big red flag that, yes, this is probably going to happen. Now, Elohim City, which is a 400-acre, they call it a compound,
right,
located near Muldrow, Oklahoma here.
Yeah, in Oklahoma, in the Arkansas border, not too far.
What do you think was the purpose of this Elohim City?
Well, actually, some good friends of mine had talked to the Malar family that started that compound. And let's see here. It's a very peaceful religious sect, and they're just you know, they just wanted to live out on their own and pretty much subside off the land. They took in a lot of the folks that were involved with the planning of the bombing under good faith. They had no idea of their criminal side, and it played into the hands of both the ATF and the FBI, trying to fester trouble that literally wasn't there to begin with. And I think it's unfortunate the way the Malar family was treated. And we know that some members of them were actually informants for the FBI. So this was it was a concoction by the U.S. Justice Department to make something literally out of nothing and to promote terrorist act, and unfortunately it got out of hand, not only because of the breakdown in their intelligence sharing, but there were some actually some members within that compound that were temporary visitors that chose to really cause some trouble. So that's why the FBI doesn't want to admit to it, because they really had no control on this thing from day one. They thought they did, but it literally backfired. So I really don't know how to put my finger on there other than it started out as an innocent, privately owned compound, and then it just it carried on into something that turned out to be a horrific act of terrorism.
I guess the government can connect them to white separatists.
Sure. Whatever label they want to, what is the label of the week or the label of the day with them? You know, it's amazing. They can pick anything out of, you know, pull anything out of thin air and say it's this, that, or the other thing. Doesn't necessarily mean it's true, I guess.
Does that still exist?
What, the Elohim City?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah, there are people living on there, but they're certainly not of the element that the government had claimed that they are. They're peaceful.
Well, there's participants in this that you stated Tuesday that there, in your opinion, there's like 8 people involved?
At least 12.
At least 12.
Yeah, at least 12 in addition to McVeigh and Nichols.
Uh-huh. And was Mark Thomas one of those, or Peter Langan, or...
They were peripheral, but, I mean, they weren't included in that group of 12.
I see.
Yeah.
This group of individuals that you can, are you able to talk about them at all? Or?
I really can't, unfortunately, Chris, but I know that we've got the information on them, where they lived, how they made their living, how much money they were making. We got their names, a lot of vital information. And that will come out in due time.
Yeah, the point is that the more the shroud is lifted from this conspiracy, the better it's going to be for the rest of the country. Those that are too busy to pay attention, well, that's a sad commentary for them.
Right.
Which is by design as well, as everybody's struggling to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly concerned about this, and I'm concerned about the next one. I'm concerned about the loss of innocent lives all over the world, about what happens with these scenarios that happen.
Right.
We have this mess in the Middle East now, and it's costing billions of dollars.
We had no business going into Iraq in the first place, and I mean that it's anybody that's a half-wit of intelligence could see that. That not only did we abrogate the sovereignty of a country, we could have had, if Saddam was as mean and ruthless as they claim to be, they could have taken him out, you know, in a very, why do we have special forces? You don't need to completely command a country to take out a leader. You're right, so it's...
Well, it's just a sad commentary to see where we're going with all this,
mm-hmm.
and it's very predictable now, the way things are being engineered. And, you know, I've done a lot of research on Agenda 21, and I see how right here in the Oklahoman, they're talking about dated May 2nd. They talk about the black-capped viral, which is a petite songbird with a trademark black head.
Mm-hmm.
It is partial to the caterpillars found in a small thicket trees near Lake Stanley Draper. It is also federally protected endangered species, and it's in the way of development now, and so they've got these directions with endangered species to keep us from doing what we need to do or want to do, and this is going on all over the country, the Endangered Species Act. All these different directions are being engineered at us. In the meantime, the police state gets larger and larger, doesn't it?
Yes, it can be a convolution of a lot of different things, and you really have to just step back and you stay sharp and you stay focused, and you have to learn. You've got to get out there and not believe what the canned media is telling you. And I speak from experience, having worked for CBS for almost 8 years, on the road with them a lot, and I saw how the machine ran. It was... In one way, it was a marvelous way to work, but the end result wasn't marvelous by any stretch of the imagination, and that's why I chose to leave the network, because I wasn't happy with the end story. When you start with something and it's completely rehashed and turned into something different than what you started with, to the point of being false, 90% of the time. That's not newsmaking. That's controlling the truth and distorting the truth. And that's exactly what, and I have no qualms of saying this, is exactly what CBS does today.
They manipulate the information to fit a scenario?
Sure, absolutely. They'll do it whatever, as they say, you run the news up the flagpole in New York. If they don't buy it, you're not running it. And the local affiliates have to do that. They have no choice, or else they're going to have their FCC license yanked, or they're going to get a new station manager and a new staff, bring in a new crew that's willing to go ahead and perpetuate the lie.
So they're dependent on their jobs for security,
sure,
for their families, and so they have to continue to play the line and the lies from CBS.
There's a few exceptions with some networks here in Oklahoma City. There are a few people that are able to have a little more latitude, but we see it happen in the local affiliates here too.
When we watch the news on the different channels, mm-hmm, NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, it all seems like the same news is coming from the same feed. Is that the way it is?
Yes, very much so. You just get it off. It used to be the wire services. Now, of course, it's all internet, and you get things instantaneously. You cough in London, and you'll hear it 3 seconds later in Chicago. I mean, it's amazing how fast the news will travel. So,
yeah, very, very interesting. Now, what do you think of the final report on the Oklahoma City bombing? Do you know about that?
Yes, read it cover to cover. That is probably by far one of the best pieces of work ever put together. It was self-published by the Oklahoma City Bombing Investigation Committee, comprised of former Oklahoma State Representative Charles Key and bombing survivor V.Z. Lawton and two private citizens, George Wallace and Dale Phillips. Both Mr. Wallace and Mr. Phillips had seen Charles Key literally get hammered in the press, both in the papers and TV, for over 2.5 years, and they were fed up with it. They finally stepped forward and said, look, what can we do? We have the resources to help you out here. Let's get something done. George Wallace, being a former military aviator, knew that the ordnance that was allegedly used to take out the Murrow Building, it was ridiculous, the claims. He dropped similar ordnance from bombers, planes in World War II. So it was a good mix of private citizens, a survivor, a former state representative, and a former military aviator. Get a good cross-section of what really happened that day. That is, there's enough indictable information in that book, if it got in front of the right federal grand jury, to literally put people in prison. It's a shocking testament to what happened, but it's true.
I see. And this is something that people can purchase?
Yes. You can actually get it from the website. Thank you for leading in on that, Chris. We appreciate a free plug on the website. The Oklahoma City Bombing Investigation Committee is www.okcbombing, all one word, okcbombing.org. And it's been revised. It's been updated. There's a lot of new links on recent developments with the case. And you can order the book off the website. And Charles Key and myself and the other members of the committee are in charge of mailing that out. And we do get it out within 3 business days after the order is placed.
Okay. And what should people expect to pay for that?
Well, let's see. It varies on the quantity. There's a hard copy, I believe, that's available for $25,
uh-huh,
and the soft copy is just under $20. But if you order it in quantities, we can certainly negotiate a good price for you.
So you recommend people buying it by the case?
If they would love to, yes. But we could still work out a good single issue copy
uh-huh,
price on that too.
Okay. Well, this is very, very important, because this is going to help spread the information to those that don't have a computer.
That's correct. And I will let them know that they started working on the book, and I believe it took them almost 4 years from manuscript to final publication. And once again, this is self-published. Nobody wanted to touch this information. And I remember meeting Charles in June of 2000. The book came out in August of 2001, literally 3 weeks before 9/11 happened. All of the contacts that we had established at that time, they were very excited about helping us distribute the book. It was amazing. It was like somebody turned the switch off. When 9/11 happened, nobody returned our calls. They wouldn't return our emails. They didn't even want to touch the book. It was such a volatile issue. And I remember calling into the office, Charles's office, that day, that morning of 9/11, and the phones were not did not stop ringing for probably a good 7 solid hours. It was unbelievable. People finally realized that Charles Key and his committee were doing the right thing. They said, yes, this is going to happen again, sure enough.
And this is as a result of September 11th?
That's correct. When that happened, like I said, the phones lit up. People just were calling in support of Charles. Some folks that were on the fence, thinking that he was just a little loose in the screws, and they realized, no, this guy had his act together. He knew what he was talking about. And he still does. He's a man of integrity, a man of modest means, and I couldn't ask for a better friend. Mr. Key is definitely an upstanding citizen, one of the best out there.
Well, I certainly hope we can have him on in the near future, whenever you can make it happen.
Yes. Unfortunately, with the schedule mixed up this week, he was not able to make it on, but he says he does look forward to talking to you and your listeners.
Okay, because we don't want to put this to bed. I've been pretty quiet about it for a number of months, but here we are talking about it again, and so much information has come out now that it's quite remarkable that the information on suspicious deaths is coming out, and we certainly talked about Terry Yakey, and right. Then you have Gordon Martin and Ken Griffin and a number of firefighters as well. Are you able to speak on any of these individuals other than Terry?
I don't know as far as Mr. Martin or Mr. Griffin. I do know quite a bit about the Yakey case, and I've got to know the family members, Terry's mother, two sisters, the grandmother, and the nephew. I don't know how else to say it. It's very tragic what happened to Officer Yakey. Here's a gentleman that was a 7-year veteran of the Oklahoma City Police Department. He was very methodical, very copious note-taker, very detail-oriented, and what he saw the morning of the bombing really disappointed him, because it didn't take him long to figure out which direction the Justice Department was moving in the investigation. And for some of your listeners that aren't aware, it only took about 4 hours. The CIA, the NSA, and some of the top officials from the Justice Department flew into Oklahoma City on their Learjets from Dover Air Force Base, and they landed a tanker, they came here, and they pretty much shut down the investigation. They kicked off the locals, and within 24 hours, it was in the Fed's hands.
Oh, boy, we need to elaborate on that a little more.
Okay.
If you have a question, listeners, of Chris Emery, any questions for Chris Emery, questions now, 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. Questions for Chris Emery. 559-781-3773. We'll be right back to continue.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Why do creatures reproduce after their own kind? That is next on today's Creation Moments. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
How wonderful! Your dog has just had puppies. But do you now have to sort through the litter and make sure there are no baby giraffes or kangaroos? In God's account of creation in Genesis chapter 1, we repeatedly read that both plants and animals were created to reproduce after their kind. Genesis chapter 1, in speaking about the creation of plants, repeats 3 times in just 2 verses that they are to reproduce after their kind. We see the same phrase repeated later in the chapter when the animals are created. This is not just empty repetition. God is here stressing a fundamental principle that all things reproduce after their kind. Mother dogs have puppies, and mother cats have kittens. You can count on it. Why does God stress this principle? Even before creation, God knew that man would eventually sin and then seek to hide his responsibility by trying to explain things without a creator. God knew that this idea of evolution would capture the faith of millions over the history of the world. God stresses what our experience shows so that he might be harder for men to hide from. All things do reproduce after their kinds, and despite evolutionists' strong faith in evolution, they cannot offer one established scientific fact to explain how one kind of creature might eventually make a completely different kind.
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Broadcast.
Yes.
We have Chris Emery with us, and we're discussing the Oklahoma City bombing and the deception behind that. Let me ask you, Chris, as we went to commercial pause, you said federal officials came to Tinker to shut everything down?
They flew into Tinker and then came up to the bomb site, and they pretty much took control of the crime scene, claiming that it was actually federal property. And not to split hairs or to argue a moot point here, but Charles Key had a couple of investigators, as well as a few of his former associates at the state capitol, research the fact that the state of Oklahoma never signed the deed of that land. It was actually property of Oklahoma County to the federal government. So legally, they never even owned the building. They just came in and arrogantly stated that it was actual federal property. The correct jurisdiction was Oklahoma County, and the Sheriff's Department had every full right to secure that crime scene. They were kicked off by the Justice Department, and that was after the fact. And it was a very important point, because since it wasn't federal property legally or monetarily, Oklahoma County still owned that building. The federal government had no right to move the site of the trial, not only out of the Oklahoma County, but out of the state of Oklahoma. And that's a whole other discussion we can get to in and of itself.
Really?
But law professors from the University of Alabama at Birmingham, as well as University of Notre Dame, basically supported the claim, yes, that this trial, once it crossed the state line into Colorado, it was rendered null and void. And that's something that your listeners, like I said, can elaborate later on with a very good friend of mine who actually handled some litigation for the case by the name of Harmon Taylor out of Dallas. So.
Well, it's quite remarkable that that this happened, and the trial was going on, and we got to see the O.J. Simpson trial, but we didn't see the Tim McVeigh trial.
That's correct, and it was Judge Mace's call on that. He chose to have a closed courtroom, and so but he had no business even trying the case. He didn't have the jurisdiction, and it should have stayed in the state of Oklahoma. Regardless of what the defense or the prosecution pleaded, by constitutional law, everything, like I said, once it crossed the state line into Colorado, was rendered null and void. All of the findings, all of the information entered into court, the pleadings, everything. It's just a ruse. And McVeigh was put to death on bogus trial proceedings, and now we have Terry Nichols in prison on the same premise. He should be retried.
And, yeah, it's quite remarkable that this is the case, that we really don't know what part Terry Nichols really played in this, do we?
No. In fact, I had the opportunity to attend 5 days of the state trial in McAllister. It started last March and ended in the second week of June. Judge Stephen Taylor, who presided over that trial, we thought was going to be a little more forthright and open on his limitations and boundaries of what he would allow into the trial. We found that wasn't the case. He wouldn't allow anything. He wouldn't even allow Carol Howe to come and testify, which was shocking because she would have added a completely different dimension to the whole thing and exposed the informants that had prior knowledge. Well, he wasn't going to stand for that. I don't know Judge Taylor personally. I have nothing against her personally, but the way he restricted the testimony was almost a carbon copy of what happened in the federal trial. In fact, we know of three people in the district attorney's office here in Oklahoma County that were empowered to represent the state of Oklahoma in the case, clearly stated in the news media. They had no qualms about saying, yes, we're going to enter it and pretty much run it as though it was the federal trial that Nichols had in Denver. Well, that's the worst thing you could do, because he was, not only was he almost acquitted on all charges in Denver, we found out a lot of the relevant evidence wasn't even allowed to be entered into the proceedings. So why would you want to repeat that in the state of Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a whole other discussion we can get into.
Is there any information that you have that there were records of a Gulf War illness in the building?
I don't know that for sure. There's a lot of speculation what was in that building and what wasn't, and I haven't had the opportunity to delve into that facet of it.
And you know, we talked Tuesday that the BATF was forewarned.
Oh, yes.
And
absolutely.
Didn't show up for work.
Yes.
What about the fire department? Were they forewarned?
They Charlie Weathers, the dispatcher, claimed that he had gotten a call within 10 days of the bombing. It was a general warning. Nothing specific. Of course, that's the claim that was made by the Justice Department. We'll never know because they destroyed any access to those transcripts.
Uh-huh.
It's very uncanny and very, I guess it's not surprising, again, how the Justice Department will destroy or hide information that will implicate them on their guilt.
Right.
The fire department did have a prior warning. Now, as far as the extent or the detail of it, we'll really never know.
And, you know, Ben Parton, he certainly said there are at least four demolition charges that were set off at the four critical columns.
That's correct, between the second and third floor.
Uh-huh. And that information, you know, was very public.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, you know, the controlled system just discarded it all and destroyed the building less than a month later.
Yes, on May 23rd. In fact, it was the same day that James Nichols, Terry's brother, was let out of federal prison in upstate Michigan. He told me that thought it was rather uncanny. That morning, that afternoon, he was let out, and they destroyed the building that morning, I think between 6:30 and 7:30 here in Oklahoma City. What happened with General Parton, and I told your listeners on Tuesday, he compiled a very professional, very thorough report and submitted it to every member of Congress. None of them responded to his efforts, other than a local congressman from Alexandria, Virginia, where General Park lives. And they completely ignored his request to stall the demolition of the building. Now, this is coming from a retired military officer. He retired in 1978, and he knew what brought that building down because he designed ordnance to take out hard targets, quote-unquote, 3 to 4 to 10 times the size of the Murrah building. If anybody would know, it would have been General Parton. And he's been an absolute inspiration and a pillar of support for the committee. We really owe a lot of gratitude to what General Parton has done, and we're very honored to have him speak at the forum here on April 20th in Oklahoma City, and along with the 15 other excellent speakers. So luckily he's still with us.
What do you think General Parton's read is on what happened on September 11th, 2001?
He told a group of us that he really hasn't had a chance to look into the case in detail, as he did with Oklahoma City and TWA 800, so we certainly respect that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really can't speak for him. Or, you know, he really didn't have any opinion either way at this point.
Well, I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And he may be feeling somewhat intimidated himself.
Who knows? I know he's getting up in age, but he tell you what, he looks great for his age. He's doing very well health-wise.
Uh-huh.
Because we're very fortunate to still have him among us to help us spread the truth on this case.
Yeah, it's most important to keep his credibility in place and his information in place.
Mm-hmm.
He made a report, and that report got major circulation amongst the awake people.
Bill Jasper, and if I may tell your listeners,
yes.
Mr. Jasper from the New America magazine has done by far one of the best, if not the best, job of covering this case since day one, and they can log on to the New American magazine website. An incredible collection of the write-ups, literally starting from weeks after the bombing right up until last week. Mr. Jasper's most recent article summarizing what happened during the last 10 years, quote-unquote, said that the Reno, as well as the Clinton administration and the current administration, continue to perpetuate dozens of monstrous lies related to this case, and they literally don't care anymore. It's shocking, and it's very sad to see the apathy. We're not talking about a minor accident here. This is it was a calculated and methodical process of not only the commission but of the cover-up.
Yeah,
there's no way you can walk away from something like that with a clear conscience.
Well, this is my concern about future events. You know, that nothing happens by surprise, and that's the problem.
You are so correct.
That is really a serious problem. My mother was in the John Birch Society, and she used to work there, and mm-hmm. and Bill Jasper used to work in the shipping department way back when.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
an excellent writer.
Very amazing. He's got a lot of knowledge about the big picture in place, and unfortunately, we have to do the best we can, and we need more like him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. The sheer numbers of people waking up is going to make a difference. It's just as the people wake up, the devastation that will be created in the next terrorist event will be more severe.
That's exactly what Charles Key was saying over the years. What the media is saying, well, why do you care about the bombing? And he says, because it's going to happen again.
Right.
So
this time it'll be gigantic, though, because there's more and more people that are waking up
mm-hmm.
every day to this thing. And that's what concerns me more than anything else, is that until we can get to the bottom of all of this, the next one will be a gigantic one. And
sure.
Who will it be ultimately attributed to, and why will the major press not cover it? Well, obviously they're controlled.
Right.
And this is where you have the intimidation, you have the force of arms on people, and the death threats to family members, and the loss of pensions and paychecks and things like this that keeps people silent, that really should speak out. Obviously there was more than one explosion in the building. Obviously, there were more explosives in the building because
yes.
they were dismantled right in front of our eyes on television.
And they were hauled out. Yes, and they weren't practice devices either. Fulminated mercury, which is a very volatile, it's a low grade explosive, but very volatile, was found on four different buildings rooftops within a 2-block area of the Murrah building. You and I know that fulminated mercury is not contained in commercial roofing material. It's ludicrous. It's very toxic. It's very volatile. And there's no way that you would even consider putting something like that down on a sealant for a roof. So how did it get there? Well, it was literally thrust there through blast force attenuation from the Murrah building onto these rooftops. Well, there were members of the Army CID that did positive hits on those tests for that for those particles. They knew it was on there. It was never brought out. You really, and I offer this advice to your listeners on Tuesday, in order to understand a case as complicated as this, or TWA 800 or 9/11, you just break it down into the simplest of terms, and then you reassemble the puzzle. You see how the crime was actually committed, and who had the benefit, who lost, who had the most to gain, the most to lose on it. And then you just work yourself, basic detective work, backwards, and you come right to the source. And it's irrefutable.
Yeah, apparently, and certainly Dennis, one of my webmasters, has done some tremendous research to bring this to the forefront tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Jaina Davis wrote a book, The Third Terrorist. Do you know much about that?
Yes, it's a very good book. Jaina has done a lot of very good work on the case. She chose to limit her focus on the case to the Middle Eastern terrorist aspect of it. Jane was brilliant in her own right. She's done a lot of good work, and I really don't want to take anything away from her in that. Unfortunately, and it was her choice. She chose to limit the scope of what she wanted to write on, and she did a good job on that limited scope. She didn't acknowledge the efforts of the bombing committee nor of General Parton. Took a pretty much, for lack of a better term, in some respects, a pro-government stance in some aspects. When I read the book, that was the first thing I picked out, and I said, okay, well, that's her choice. But what she wrote on, she did a good job.
If there was a Middle Eastern connection to this, it was sanctioned by insiders and government agencies.
Honestly, Chris, your guess is as good as mine on that. I wish I could really get a definitive yes or no on that. But what I can offer and what I can say to your listeners is that this was a multi-level operation. It just wasn't purported reps from the Aryan Nation or the militia. It was very little to do with the militia movement at all. But there were false flags. There were people there that were stage actors. They were bad actors, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the IRA. You had the Mexican drug cartels. I mean, we do know bona fide connections with that. Four or five different layers of criminality involved with this thing. It wasn't a small operation by two military zealots such as McVeigh and Nichols. Physically, financially, and mentally, it's ludicrous to think that they could have carried this off by themselves. Anybody with any common sense can realize that. And that's another reason why Mr. Lanza today was just showing his lack of credibility and lack of professionalism by claiming that nobody else was involved. Well, that's insane. And why somebody from the Justice Department would even have the audacity to claim that is beyond me, other than the fact that they're just covering their tail.
Yeah, they're just told to make certain statements to, I don't know, cover their butts, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and that's putting it very mildly. You're right.
Do you have other people that you're connected to that you can bring on to bring more light into this situation that you might want to do?
Yeah, in fact, the speakers forum, Craig Roberts, Pat Shannon, who's done a great job writing this on this case with American Free Press, and who's done a superb job of reviving interest in the Terry Ickey case. And by the way, for any of your listeners out there, including some from the law enforcement community, that, by the way, I do want to thank them both from the city, the county, the state, and the federal level. We had a lot of very brave members, both male and female law enforcement officers, help us out.
Oh.
Any of those that are interested in helping us reinvestigate the case on Yegi, we'd love to get their help.
So you say there are people in the police department that are willing to help?
No. This is, how do I describe this? This case is brought up in Oklahoma City. Either people will look at you, walk away, they'll interrupt you in the middle of your conversation and just cut it off. They will hang up you on the phone, with you on the phone, or they'll just, they won't even follow through on appointments when they know what you want to meet about. It's just, it's a very, very touchy subject. I'm afraid.
And once again, they're afraid for their positions.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm.
There are officers on the force now that I know that have absolutely no idea of Officer Yakey or what happened to him. It's a matter of attrition. The senior officers have retired, they've gone, they've passed away, and you get the young officers in there, and it's a vacuum of knowledge. They just don't know. They have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and so we're directed into certain scenarios that we can't. As time progresses, we won't be able to get to the bottom of it eventually.
Well, it goes more difficult as time goes on, but I know that we're going to be able to persevere on this, and you just, as I say, you just got to keep wearing them down and kill them with kindness and honesty, and hopefully that'll win it through. Show them that you're sincere and you're not there to mess around, and you're very serious about what you want to get done.
Yeah, and certainly Dennis's information on the website, there's like six different links to all of this information, listeners, that you're encouraged to look at tonight while it's fresh on your mind, and we'll have a section for it. Somehow we're going to do that, and certainly the cover-up in Oklahoma City by William Jasper is in here, and
We really appreciate everything that you folks are doing, and I cannot thank you enough for taking the time. I mean, you could go in all different directions on all different kind of topics, but we really appreciate all of your help, and that's your entire staff.
I thank you very much, because working together on all this is very, very important, and you know, obviously I stay glued to this, and you invited me to speak, and I declined, but because I'm focused on the broadcast. And I'm just so knowledgeable about the past to the present to the future that I certainly know what's going to be happening next.
Sure. And you're able to see the whole picture, and that's an excellent message to convey. That's what we need the people to do, to step out the box and look at outside the box and look at the whole picture.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously there's been infiltration in our government over the years. The infiltration has brought it to the point where we have something called communitarianism today, mm-hmm. which is reinvented communism, right. And we have all 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto being implemented in America. We have the Department of Homeland Security now, which is taking more and more freedoms away, and you know, what I've determined over the years is that a world governmental system has been put in place, whether we like it or not,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's being implemented now, is the fact that we're supposed to give to the poor countries, and we're supposed to lose more and more, and ultimately demolish the middle class.
Right.
And so what are we trying to do but get the truth out to the point where the sheer numbers of people making a difference will put a roadblock into the globalist plan for totalitarian control.
Right. One thing that I forgot to mention in the last show, a lot of the listeners aren't aware of, and this is something I learned early on,
mm-hmm.
that what we're experiencing, terrorism in the last 15 years, since 1993,
yeah.
Has happened in Europe and Italy. I mean, it happened shortly after World War II. The Germans and a lot of the expatriates from the Nazi Party were just... We're trying this out in Europe, and it worked spectacularly for them. So this is nothing new as far as the world event, but in the United States, it's brand new. And so for people to say that, you know, my God, you know, this is something that is just come around the corner and we've got to deal with it and it's an emergency, that's baloney. It's been happening since the mid-1940s. But it took that long for itself to, I mean, I'm saying deliberate acts of terrorism where you have your neo-Nazis and your communists and a lot of different political factions working together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're very right. And this is the big concern is that this Agenda 21 is going along. Nobody really knows about it. It's the best kept secret in the world.
Right.
And there's so much going on with it. And yet, as you look at your papers, you can see it unfolding. And yet you have the terrorism, you have the Homeland Security, which was planned for long in advance of September 11, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
They just had to pull something off to bring this totalitarian regime of Homeland Security into place. Eventually, there'll be roadblocks. You'll have to have certain passports to go to different cities. I think, and you know, this is the same thing that happened in the Soviet Union.
Sure.
So, with this major disaster 10 years ago, and then the other one, and the next one, you know, this is what we try to do, is get this out in the open. Now, if you want to connect dots with other guests to come on with you, and you have conversations, and we have conversations.
Sure.
If you want to engineer anything like this, anytime, let's do it.
Okay. You just, like I said, we can go out here, and I'll give you some names and phone numbers, and we'll see if we can make it work.
Yeah. Because at this point, being that you're on top of this, I'd almost like you to just spearhead this and just tell me when you want to show up.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
Okay, because... they will be archived eventually. They're immediately archived on the website for First Amendment Radio. And as you get the word out on this, the more people that learn about it, the better it's going to be.
I think that we do. If I may just repeat real quick before the end of the show, the four or five major points that we're really trying to accomplish. People are saying, well, why did you just let this go? And it's like, no, you can't let something like this go. It's the foundation of... having the truth, and when we pass on, we're no longer here. Do we want our children to remember the deaths of these people in the lie? And the resounding answer is no, absolutely not. It's unacceptable. Why should we have our kids remember something that, you know, a set of events that didn't happen under the circumstances we're presented with? The first thing is, of course, we want the Justice Department just to acknowledge the fact that there was a problem here. That's usually the first step in solving a problem, is acknowledging one, you have one in the first place. Number two, we want them to apologize to these people. They deserve an apology at the very least. Number three, you pay them restitution. There was a mistake made. There's clear, irrefutable information, documentation showing that the Justice Department screwed up on this, for lack of a better term. And number four, you correct the official record of U.S. history on this case. And number five, you move on. That is a clear and very responsible and very moral, I think, a correct track of correcting this case and having closure for these people. And anything less than that is unacceptable. You really have to take care of these people.
Well, that's very, very commendable that you stick out so much in doing this. I'm wondering what motivates you more than anything else, Chris.
I'm a naturalized citizen of the United States. I wasn't born here, but I came here, and I'm proud to be a United States citizen. When you see something like this pass on, this is not the United States. This is not the state of Oklahoma. This is not the people of Oklahoma City. We're better than this. Collectively, we deserve better than this. And that means if you make a mistake, you be a man about it, you step forward, and you apologize, and you take care of the people that you messed up against. That's the foundation of this country. We're not living in a totalitarian third world country. This is the United States of America, and we're one of the best in the world, and we have to show that we are.
And they're trying to turn it into that, and we're going to try and stop it, aren't we?
That's right. You have to. You have to stand up for what you believe in.
Well, Chris, I appreciate your time. Now, let's work together on these other guests and keep this thing alive, okay?
Yes, and thank you again, Chris, and your entire staff. You're doing a marvelous job. Thank you.
Thank you very much, my friend.
Have a good night.
Good night now. Listeners, be sure to listen to Darren Weeks tomorrow and Monday night. Darren Weeks, full of documentation. My partner, along with Dennis Hodges in Missouri, we do the best we can for you and our country. God bless you all. Good night.
You're listening to the FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Who are you? That is the